Welcome to the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast, where entrepreneurs can come to be educated, enlightened, and empowered for success in their business pursuits. Welcome to another episode of the Fundamental Entrepreneur. We are so glad you are here and joined us today. Before we get started, make sure that you have gone and rated and reviewed this podcast. It helps us really be able to spread the word and help others on their journey as well. So today we have a wonderful guest as part of our This Is Their Story segment, and so excited for this conversation. Emma is joining us from Elf Operations. And I met Emma in a networking group I'm in, and she has a great story, an inspirational story. And not only that, she's such an amazing woman and has so much to offer. Emma actually is a systems and operations strategist. She works with visionary CEOs who really are looking to scale their business in efficient and sustainable ways and really get rid of that overwhelm that so many of us have, especially as we start out on our journeys or we're trying to scale to that next level. So she brings such great resources to the table. And I'm not going to go into a lot of her kind of background story because I want Emma to tell that to you herself. But so, Emma, welcome to the podcast today. We're so glad you are here.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and thank you for having me. And I'm so glad our paths crossed in the advance and in our new mastermind that we're both in.
Yes, I'm so excited. Yes, Emma and I are going to spend some quality time together this year. So I thought, what a wonderful way to start it out, right? With really sharing your story and sharing what you're really about and what you've come through to get where you are today. So let's start, Emma. Like, tell us a little bit about you, about what you're doing and what really got you to this point.
Yeah, I mean, my intro story is kind of similar to others in some ways and then unique in its own part of I started my business when I was still pretty new in corporate. I think that's a little bit of a unique part. Some people find their entrepreneurial spirit later on or maybe after a while, but I was in my corporate career as a project scheduler at a manufacturing company. I had just graduated from college and I was in a position, a unique position of being a single mom after a domestic violence issue that had occurred. And I was just felt very much at rock bottom. I didn't know what else to do. I really was looking for something to help me get that control back in my life, have freedom and flexibility, things I did not have in my life prior to. So I always say my business was my tool / vehicle to heal after everything that had happened in that relationship and in my life up to that point, because I just didn't want to sit around and be a statistic of, you know, another young single mom who couldn't provide for their kid or was, you know, going back to their partner because financial control, and this is, I think, a good segue for our conversation, is I didn't want financial control to still be an issue, or because in my abusive relationship, finances played such a huge part in it. That was just one of the ways he was able to control me or abuse me or manipulate me was finances. So that's played such a huge part in my story. And so I didn't want to sacrifice more time with my daughter. So I was on Pinterest and found online businesses that I could do with her as a side hustle. So I launched my online business as a VA. And when the pandemic hit, my now fiance and I had just started living together. We just bought our house and he knew I was miserable and one of us was going to have to stay home eventually with our daughter because of the daycare issues and everything that was going on surrounding that. And he knew how much I just wanted to go full time in my business. I knew that if I just jumped in head first, everything would work out with the time and the money and everything. So He let me, not let me, but we agreed that it would be best for me to quit my job versus him. and I took my business full time. I niched into operations and systems strategy because I could see a gap with the industry in my area of people who were also turning to entrepreneurial life and who were also starting online businesses or moving their brick and mortar businesses more online with the pandemic and everything that was happening in the world. So I knew I could help these business owners with my tech background, my ops background, and everything that I could offer them and help them with the implementation piece. So I really niched down into what I have today, which is my retainer clients. I have VIP offers, intensives to help business owners at different levels of their business. And I work really hard to be a partner with them in their business to help make their lives simpler, get that flexibility and that freedom back in their life that they're looking for. Because as they've scaled, they've either built out a way that's leading them to burnout or they're struggling to delegate and build out that team. So what are the operations? What are the systems? So I break it down into really two things, systems and support. What are those key pieces that they need to help make their life what they want it to be and really in alignment with the freedom and the control that I found in my business? I try to help them through the ops portion of their business to find it in theirs.
Okay, so much to unpack there. Right? And I really do want to dive in. I mean, you have a great grasp of what your offering is and kind of how you got there. I want to dive into that, but I don't want to lose sight of kind of where you've been to get there. So you started a career fresh out of college, and it sounds like you started not long after you started that career, something shifted, right?
Yeah, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur even before I started my career, but I didn't know what that was going to look like at the time. Like, it was a childhood dream of mine to do it.
So it was so it was in the back of your mind. Yeah. I love that. So what really triggered the shift then? So you've had this goal of being an entrepreneur. You went to college. Did you just feel like you needed to, you know, kind of take the corporate job to get the experience and then you could shift into the entrepreneurship? Or is that kind of where you were thinking at the time?
Pretty much. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is the route. This is what everyone does. You go to college, you get your degree, you get your experience. Then once I had in my, like, what was labeled enough business experience, I could branch out and just start my own business. I did have hopes of, or a thought of opening a food truck business, but I really liked the VA/online business world when the circumstances presented itself, because I could be home with my daughter. I could have that flexibility. It wasn't going to be a huge time suck. And I didn't even know it existed until then. And I realized it's actually a lot easier to start a business. And when I was in that spot of, oh, I feel like I'm at rock bottom, I just dived headfirst into personal development. And part of that personal development was just, I was listening to podcasts and reading books about entrepreneurs, financial freedom, because I was like, how am I going to get a debt? Because my finances played just a huge part of my story, because like I was right out of college. I was like, I can't just jump ship and start a business and pay off my student loans and, you know, provide for this baby, because I was single income. But every story I read, everyone I heard was they started their business and they had just so much more control over their finances, their income level. They controlled with how they grew and how they proceeded. And I just felt like I wasn't taken seriously in corporate because whether I was a woman or how young I was, because I was really the only woman in a lot of the rooms or the meetings I was in, because I was in a male dominated field. And I knew no job was that I tried to apply to move up or anywhere that I tried to go in those first couple years, because there was no real way for me to theoretically in corporate cover my expenses. I was operating at a loss, honestly, when I was working corporate. And so it was the right move for me because I was never going to hit that an income level to provide single handedly for my daughter. Cause I didn't want like yeah, there's child support, but I didn't want to bank on that because I knew any child support money I got was going to also come with a catch of, you know, I'm paying you. So this blah, 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 you need me. So it was really like a way for me to prove myself to myself that I could do it and take back that part of my life, really.
I love that you recognize that in you and you are able to, you know, move past probably the hurt and really be able to develop and grow and know that you can do something different. I know several women that, you know, that get stuck in that kind of relationship stigma and they believe really, you know, what's coming at them and they just kind of give up on anything. And so kudos for you for being the strong woman to make a difference. Yes. I know that's not easy in the moment. And so, yes, I just want to celebrate that you were able to do that.
It's definitely a lot easier to give up or just take the easier way out. But I was determined to make it happen because I was like, I'm going to thank myself later.
Absolutely. Yes. And I'm assuming that your daughter was a big force in that motivation and decision.
Yeah. To leave the abusive relationship and to show her, like, I didn't back on the personal development thing. Like, I just learned so much about myself and how I was raised. Not that there was anything wrong with that, but I was like, there's things that I want my daughter to see that she can do anything. Doesn't matter what age she is, no matter what stigmas are put onto her from society. Like, I want to be able to show her, like, how to love herself, how to show up confidently. I didn't want her to see her mom. And that was why I left. I didn't want her to see. Someone said to me, do you really want your daughter to see you being upset and hurt every day? And I was like, no, that's not the type of thing I wanted for my daughter to see. So getting through that really helped me build my business because nothing really seemed that bad. I was like, you know, I lived through this. I can live through a couple of hard months building this business. Or taking rejection. You're like the fear of failing. I was like, nothing is that. I get kind of like what we were talking about in our call earlier. I'm going to reference that even though people listening won't know, but I just had to change my thought around that. Like the fear piece that I was feeling having come up wasn't as bad as I was making it seem. I think that's what a lot of people suffer from, especially women, is the imposter syndrome, the fear of failure. And all these scenarios in my head that I could come up with, I would like write them down or say them out loud. And after I said them out loud, I'm like, the worst case scenario is actually not as bad, like as it seems when it's in our head and like problem solving it out.
Oh yeah, for sure. I love that. That in and of itself is a great tool. And just that you're aware enough to say, okay, maybe I'm blowing this out of proportion. Let's kind of break this down and actually write it out, say it out loud, whatever it is, talk to someone, and then realize, oh, okay, this isn't as bad. I love that you just, you know, we overprocess and we overthink, right? Like I've seen those shirts that says, you know, hold on a minute, why I overthink this. And I totally need that shirt, but we tend to do that, don't we? And so I love that you're aware of that and just a great process to really overcome the overthinking and the imposter syndrome. And, you know, what comes with that, right? The next step in that is, okay, we recognize that maybe we're kind of making it bigger than it is. Now the next thing is just take the action, right? Take the next step and realize that it's not as bad as we do it. And I think as entrepreneurs, and that's what I love about you, you know, the self-development journey. I feel like every entrepreneur has to go through that, especially in the beginning. It is such a self-development journey and mindset journey that, I mean, everybody as a human has to go through, but I feel like we kind of fast track it as entrepreneurs.
Yeah. <Right?
laughs> So I love that you started that early and really, I feel like you definitely have a head start on the mindset piece of success. And so
I definitely invested in it. My first year in business, I invested quite a bit between, I think my total number was like 12,000. Even though I was already in debt, I was like, I'm going to invest a little bit more to help me, because I knew that I was going to limp. I knew what my mental limitations were. And like you said, like fast tracking that, and everyone I've talked to or that I've connected with online. That's another reason I love my business, is I've been able to connect and meet other women or other entrepreneurs who, you know, have helped me heal in some way or another, because there's just so many different people and different offerings in the online space or in the virtual services, but, you know, that I connected with that I probably wouldn't have connected with had I stayed in corporate, because I never would have found out what RTT, I shouldn't say never, it would have taken me longer, because I didn't meet a coach who does rapid transformation therapy and does sessions on that, or inner spiritual healing. I worked with a client who did that. I was like a VA in her business, and she did a healing session with me, and I was like, this is just so cool. So it just opens up a whole nother area of people and to help with. And I think that's how I've been able to fast track it, is because I've worked with so many of those women. Either they were a client of mine or I was a client of theirs, because I've worked with so many different service-based businesses or coaches. So like, it's been so mutually beneficial to put myself out there.
Oh, yeah, that's great. And I love that. Yeah. Because sometimes working in an online business is really lonely, right?
Yeah.
So we have to create the opportunities to be able to create those relationships. And so that's also great advice as well. So I want to unpack a little bit. You say you started out as a VA, and I'm going to back up just a little bit more. So I love that you went online and just started researching, you know, like what are the different things I can do from home. It's funny that I wonder how many, it'd be a good statistic to know what percentage of new entrepreneurs actually did that exact same thing, right? It'd probably be higher than we might think. But I love that. But you started out as a VA, but then, okay. So then you shifted at some point. So walk me through kind of that process and the learnings that you had as you started your business as a VA and then evolved it to become into the operations and system support that you are today.
Yeah. So I went full-time as a VA. So for anyone who's listening that doesn't know what that is, it's a virtual assistant. And I was working for that for a few months, struggling a little bit to fill out the packages. And I realized it was because my heart was in it, but at a different level than I felt like other general VAs were. And there was like the competition of VAs overseas that you can get at a cheaper rate, or agency models. And so I was like, where can I add, what am I doing already that's adding extra value to my clients? What do I want to do with, because I did want to incorporate my background still, because I do enjoy project management, and I do enjoy a lot of the aspects I did learn in my corporate career of capacity planning, of using tech resources and budgeting and a little bit of marketing that I had done in the past as well. So I was like, I still want to be doing all that. So it's been like a slow progression, I would say, of going from, okay, I'm a project manager, or like I was just constantly trying to like up level because I just felt like I could add all this extra value to my clients, or that I was adding an extra value. And it took me a while to just find a name for it, until I was working with a coach and she was like, stop worrying about the name, because that's what I felt like was holding me back in my sales, was I didn't know what to call myself. And she was like, just pick a name and stick with it, because you know, you can do that. It's your business. It's your title. It doesn't have to be, you know, understood by everyone. That's part of going to be your brand and your messaging and everything, is just like explaining what you do and making it very clear. And so I was like, well, I love systems and I love operations, and I use strategy mostly. Like that's what I do with a lot of my clients, is we're going to sit down, we're going to make a plan, actionable steps. We're going to look at the key metrics, because that's just how my brain works. And I know that the data is how you're going to make a good decision in your business, because I worked with closely with a lot of CEOs in their business. And I just saw this gap as I was working with people of what they needed in the fact that they just didn't want to deal with their operations, or they wanted to hand it off once they got to a certain point, even if they liked it. And I was really good at helping people step into that CEO role, because I wasn't like a normal VA. I would like think a little bit with them, think a few steps ahead. I wouldn't have to have all those instructions that you might need for just a VA that's going to implement. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That was just my journey. That was my thought process of, you know, I can help them manage. I can help them pull out tasks from them that they need to delegate, that I could see, like, you shouldn't be spending time on this. I can help you do this. Like, I really have built into my business helping the CEO learn almost to delegate and do it in an efficient, effective way with processes and systems, and how they can grow through that. I know that was a long-winded answer, but
no, it was perfect. No, I think that's, it's a good point. It's like we evolve, right? And
yeah.
And to your coach's point, we do, and a lot of times get stuck on one small little piece that we don't necessarily need to focus on, right?
Yeah.
And I think we're all victims of that. So, you know, no judgment there, but we tend to do that. And I love that it's a good reminder that to step back, just like you do for your clients, and really kind of look at that bigger picture and how you can help and fill their gaps and delegate for them and reduce the overwhelm for your CEOs. I think we all can benefit from that, right? In our own businesses, just stepping back and say, okay, what is okay for me to let go of?
Yeah.
And what is okay for me to really hold on to that's going to fulfill me and move my business forward. Something I continue to work on as well. So like I said, it was like, we're not all pros at this, but we know, you know, that it's something that it is always helpful.
Oh yeah. I'm not a pro at all either. Like, I'll get caught up in like, I need my website done perfectly. And it's like, no, that's a work in progress. When I slow down and remind myself, like, there's no reason to get so hung up on the little things. So always keeping in mind, like, what are my key needle movers? And to me, that's, you know, my clients, my relationship with my clients, the money, obviously, because as a business, you need money, you need sales, and building relationships with others. Those are what I've identified as, like, those are my three priorities. Like, I'll let marketing slip. Not all the time, but, you know, if I'm stressed or overwhelmed, I'm like, I'm not going to worry about my marketing, because like social media marketing, I should specify, because that's what most people think of when they think of their marketing. But my marketing is very different, because my whole thing last year was a referral program. That's what I built out behind the scenes. That's what's kept my business alive. So making sure I'm nurturing relationships, not only with my clients, but my key referral partners. You know, I want to give to my clients as best I can, because they are the biggest supporters of my business, and then focusing on the sales aspect of my business. So it could look different for someone else. I shouldn't say like your business isn't going to look the same as mine.
Right. I think you make a good point, right? It's you took the time to figure out what that was for you and in your business. And so I think that's the important point to take away, right? Is taking the time to reflect on that and understanding what moves your business forward and what your focus priorities are and what you're okay to let go of. Just like you said, you know, initially you let go of your marketing, but there was a reason behind it, because you were working on making sure that relationships were there to continue your business forward. So I think that's a great point.
And it's trial and error.
Trial and error.
I think it's an overnight thing. It's definitely trial and error.
For sure. Yes, I agree. So I want to ask you, Emma, what has been your biggest challenge in your entrepreneurial journey, and how did you overcome it?
I feel like the biggest challenge was sticking it out when I wanted to give up. Honestly, like in the beginning when I wasn't getting sales, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows. And I guess to be more specific on that was giving up or letting go of the feeling of everything. I had to control everything and letting go of the fear of the unknown and just putting way more trust into myself and into, you know, whether you're spiritual or religious or, you know, whatever you believe in, I had to let it go that they weren't going to do, like, I believe in God. So some people, they say the universe, but whatever you think it is, just trust that it was going to work out. And that was really, really hard for me because I was a control freak. And just trusting that things were going to work out as long as I kept trying. So I really did almost give up at the beginning of last year because I was barely making like $2,000 in my business. It had been over 6 months. I was like, I am huge in the red here. I told my fiance, I was like, I need to go back to work. And he was like, but is that really going to make you happy? So I'm also very lucky and fortunate. I should specify that my fiance is also a business owner. He owns two businesses, so he gets it. Not everyone is that fortunate that their partner gets it. So having that support was huge for me. But the biggest challenge was like letting go of that control piece and putting trust into myself and into God that it would work out.
Yes, I love that. And that's, I'm in the same camp as you. That's exactly what I had to do, is learn to let go and trust. And so I think that's great. And whatever it is that you trust in, that's, you know, what moves you is just what you need to focus on. Right.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. So then my next question is what excites you most about being an entrepreneur?
What excites me most as I'm like, I think it's funny because I have you on my Zoom screen and I did a virtual vision board for the year. So I have all these goals in my business. And I think excites me the most is the endless possibilities that can be my business, whether it be revenue, you know, the amount of women or people I'm going to help. It's because I found excitement in the unknown. Just to tie it all in, I guess it's like, I don't know who I'm going to meet this year, but I know I'm going to help somebody. And that makes me really excited that I'm going to be able to impact someone else's life. And I get to do what I love and be home with my daughters, because my second's on the way here, as Danielle knows. So just the endless possibilities that my business can bring me.
That is, amazing. I love that. Yes. Endless possibilities. That is going to be our little tagline here. And in fact, I'm just going to put it in the notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's true. That's great. And that's really what drives a lot of us in the entrepreneur space, right? Outside of the passion of what we do and who we serve. So I'm going to actually circle back to your last comments on your obstacle. So you said, you know, you were going to give up at the beginning. You were barely making enough revenue to make it work. So what shifted for you? How did you get over that hump? Like, as you trusted, what ended up shifting for you to be where you are today?
So I think there's a couple of things. The first one that was, I was fortunate enough to have a fiance who really was able to pick up the financial slack in the months that I wasn't doing as great. And he's definitely pulled me out of a few not so good feelings or periods, because he didn't know, actually. I like sharing this story because it's probably really relatable for a lot of people. He didn't know how much I was spending at one point in my business. And, you know, we were still pretty new in our relationship, not new in our relationship, but I was still working on trust things, issues, just like being able to open up to him about money was hard. And so I finally broke down and told him, I was like, I have this much debt and I don't know what to do. And I'm so scared. And he's like, oh, that's nothing, because he does real estate. So in his mind, that kind of amount of debt that I had was nothing compared to like the mortgages and the loans that he had out. So he really shifted that perspective. And he's like, how much do you need to get out of the debt? Like, you know, being able to lean on each other and like having someone, you know, invest in me was really what helped me get out of there. Because I don't think I would have like stuck with it as much without him. And having, you know, basically free coaching. I always say he was like a free, we're like free coaches to each other. And then the other two things that I would say the biggest that got me through that and like what helped me and switched all around was I invested in a sales coach. I got real, like I put all my focus in last year. It was just like overcoming being uncomfortable with sales, changing my mindset around it, that it's not sleazy, getting comfortable talking to random people, building relationships and making that a huge part of my business. Like I just wrote it down this morning, as one of my values is I'm in the business of building relationships with no thought of like, what am I going to gain out of this? It's like, how can I help other people and what can I give to them? And then implementing, I know this is going to sound cheesy, but it's not anything. And Danielle doesn't know I'm going to say this, but we both implemented profit first in our business. So that really changed because I struggled so much in investing in my business and investing elsewhere and having the expenses and not paying myself. That was like a huge adjustment from corporate to entrepreneur life is I never was putting myself first. So I implemented profit first in a way that was in alignment with me. And now I'm following it more strictly as I actually have income, but it was okay. Wiping away all the expenses that I don't need to operate my business. Like I built my business solely off of a lot of tech because it was cheaper for me and it helped me run my business efficiently. And I cut a lot of big expenses to help the bleeding. And I started paying myself what I needed to live personally at a minimum. And then I started building like my budget habits from there.
That's so awesome. Yay.
Yeah.
So it's, well, I think I know how you're going to answer my next question though, but of course we've got to ask this question being your first professional, right? So on a scale of 1 to 5, I'm hoping you're going to answer a 5. And how do you rate your understanding of your business's profitability?
I'm not going to say a 5. I'm going to say a 4 just for the fact that I'm still working on implementing everything fully. But I do understand my profitability and my cash flow a whole lot better than before I read the book and started implementing everything. And, I connected with a bookkeeper. That was like one of my big investments last year was a profit first bookkeeper, to help me get at least my QuickBooks in order. Cause I do love tech, but the back end piece of the accounting and then, you know, categorization, things like that. So they helped me get that in place too, but I do understand my profitability way better than before, but there's always room for improvement.
Yeah. Yes. Even I can improve. So that's good. But no, I love that you already shared, you know, how the profit first implementation made a difference in your business and kind of where you're at and how you're running your business. So I won't even have to ask that question either.
It is such a huge, important topic that I think isn't talked about enough in entrepreneur space. Like after I read that book, it was like, oh my gosh, I have to be thinking about my finances differently because my business was never going to get anywhere if I couldn't even cover my personal expenses, you know, because I had quit my job already at that point. So, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs just think of the business expenses instead of, you know, looking at them as a whole, I think, or at least that's what I've experienced in with clients as well. They just think about putting the money back into the business, growing the business, but then they're not paying themselves and they're just so stressed and they don't know, like they're not making good decisions when they're that stressed.
Well, exactly. That's right. So now I have to ask, how did you discover Profit First?
It was a friend of mine. Sorry, I'm like having a coughing attack. A local friend of mine that I met through a podcast host. We were both on his podcast And he connected us. Like, he was like, oh, you guys do similar work. I think you guys would make a really good connection. And we just started talking, and she told me about it because she's also in the profit first financial area as well. And she was like, you have to read this book. And I was like, okay, like, I'll read it. Like, you know, whatever. I was struggling at that point. I couldn't bring anybody on. And that's how I found it.
Oh, that's great. I'm so glad it's made a difference for you. So I know we're running short on time.
Yeah.
But I want to make sure our audience knows how to find you, Emma, and what you have to offer. If you have any special offers for our audience today, and just, yeah, making sure everybody knows where to find you.
Yeah. You can find me at elf_operations on Instagram. That's where I do a lot of, there very often and lot. I'm live every week. And, or you can find me on Facebook at Elf Operations. My website's www.elfoperations. And if you go there, you can find two of my resources if you are struggling with tech, because that is a huge part. I know we didn't deep dive into the tech or the systems piece, kind of covered my framework, but you're overwhelmed with tech or like struggling to get it implemented in your business to have the right tools or systems in place. I do have a tech stack to freedom workbook that is an exercise that you can do that I walk through with my clients of which resources are better for you. Cause I know a lot of people go through analysis paralysis with all the tech options of like, what's the best email marketing tool? What's the best this? So that is a free workbook that I have on my website. And if you want more of a operations higher level planning out, and it's like a mini strategy session, I have my masterclass training called Success Without Stress. And it's just 5 days of videos that get delivered to your email and a workbook to help you walk through all the homework and really help you build out a strategy that aligns with your vision and your goals, but does it efficiently. So those are my two resources on my website.
Great. No, that's not, I might have to go check them out myself. Cause we're always looking for better options. Right. So
yeah.
Emma, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so grateful that you could share your story and your wisdom with us.
Thank you for having me, Danielle. I'm so glad to be here, and I hope someone has a great takeaway from this episode.
I am sure they will. Yes. And as Emma said, make sure you check her out. She does some great Instagram lives and has some great resources on her website. So make sure you check her out there. Again, thank you for joining us on the Fundamental Entrepreneur podcast today. If you haven't followed us yet, make sure you find us on Instagram or Facebook under @ProCynic. And rate and review this podcast so that we can spread the word. And until then, until the next time we meet, we wish you all the success possible in your entrepreneurial journey.